Let us pray. Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Epiphany is an aha moment. When we have an epiphany, it's something we did not know before. And all of a sudden, it seems to come real to us and we understand it. It's revealing that which was hidden. And we have minor epiphanies sometimes daily. I know I do. There are things where I say, I did not know that, and I'm so happy to understand something. But usually a major epiphany does not come out of the blue. It comes through very careful study. Think of researchers in any field of science. When they have their epiphanies, they have spent years studying. It's the same way with these magi or wise men or astrologers that we read about in the Christmas story. They didn't just one day see a star and say, oh, I think I'll follow that one. These were people who had studied the heavens for years. They were people of science. They were people of faith. And when they saw the star, I'm sure they didn't get it into their Corvette and drive away. They had to get a caravan together. They had to make some preparations. They had to get their treasure chests in order. And I doubt there were just three. There were probably a bunch of people who were going on this trip. And as they followed the star, they made a calculated decision to stop and ask directions. Even though they had the star in front of them, they went to the most logical place in order for them to have a revelation. And that place was Jerusalem. That place was King Herod's palace. After all, this was a natal star for a king. So where else would you find a king but at Herod's palace? And Herod, by this time, was an old man. So they must have figured that there was a baby born sometime that they were to pay homage and respect to as the new king of the Jews. What they probably didn't know was that Herod was not the father of the year. He had already murdered several of his children who were in line to receive the throne. So they went to the palace asking, as anyone would, where is the new king? And when Herod found out, it said he was troubled and all Jerusalem with him. But Herod helped them. He brought in the sages, he brought in the priests, and he said, tell me where the Messiah, he connected the dots. There's a Messiah going to be born, and we need to know where this Messiah is born. And so the priests got out their ancient texts, and they said, it'll be in Bethlehem. And what is stunning is the very people for whom this epiphany was made missed it. The very ones who were told of the hope of a Messiah gave Herod the information and then went back home. Sometimes we miss the very epiphanies that are made just for us, because we've read the ancient story so many times that they lose all meaning. But fortunately, the wise men moved on after they had gotten good directions to Bethlehem. Herod said, please let me know about this because I want to worship this new king too, just as much as you do. And they had no reason to doubt him. So they went and they found Jesus, and the Bible says they were overcome with joy and they gave them treasures. And then God showed up after this wonderful epiphany in a dream and said, go in a different direction home. Now they would have never done that on their own. For all they knew, Herod was sincere. Herod, after all, had built their temple. The Jewish temple that was sitting there was because of Herod's work. They only knew some of the information. God knew the rest. And so God said, take another direction home. You don't know the whole story. When we have our epiphanies, sometimes God tells us, go in another direction. We only know a certain amount of information. God knows the rest. I was thinking about that yesterday. There was a wonderful story on the news. Some of you might have seen it. The Syrians and the Israelis are sworn enemies. This doesn't go back a generation. This goes back for centuries. They are trained as children not to trust each other. And Syrian fighters sometimes have no other choice but to cross the border into Israel because they're wounded. And there was a story about a hospital that's near that border. The Israeli soldiers, who are not known for being warm and fuzzy people, when they see these injured people coming, streaming across the border, they tend to their wounds and bring them to this Israeli hospital. And they showed the patients there. Now, some were children, and we can understand why you'd be kind to children, but some were soldiers. And they had to blur their faces because they're afraid that if the Syrian government sees their faces, they could get retribution if they go back to their country. And one man said, I was always told that these were my enemies, and yet they're tending to my needs. They're going in another direction, and it's a direction of peace. Sometimes what we know is not everything, and God will send us in a different direction, and we have to be open to his spirit. Now, the other story that I have is from my home life. And this is a story about a brother you haven't heard about. You've met one of my brothers, Buddy. This is a story about Johnny. Johnny is 10 years my senior. And Johnny, of the five children, was the wild one. He was the one who was incorrigible. He was, well, we called him the lunatic. And he was. At 17, he dropped out of school because he was smarter than everybody else. And he entered into the Marines because the Marines had the coolest uniforms. Now, a lot of times when troubled young people go into the military, it straightens them out. It did not do that for Johnny. When he got out of the military, he was even more of a lunatic. And now he was weaponized. Fortunately, we did not allow guns in the house. John would go from job to job, and my mother and father placed a rule in our home. You could not get a new job, you could not quit your old job unless you had a new job in place. So every 2 or 3 weeks, John would come home with a new job. He did try to move out of the house once, but he found that being responsible and paying rent was an awful thing, so he came right back home. And on the weekends, they would find him at the local bar. And this was Johnny's life. We never knew which company he was working for, and he would come home sometimes roaring drunk, and my parents would reprove him until the next time. It was a rough life with John. And then he met a lovely young lady. Now, he had had many girlfriends, and this young lady was somebody whose parents had raised her so carefully, and we felt so sorry for this young woman. We were very nice to her because we thought maybe she could help him. And they seemed to be getting along quite well, and then Johnny realized that this was getting serious and that he could not live his life the way he wanted to. All his friends were as lunatic as he was, except for this one young woman. And so he dumped her. And she was devastated. And we thought, well, she'll get over it and realize that she dodged a bullet, because Johnny is no prize. 2 weeks later, Johnny proposed to her. And we wanted to counsel her to run for the nearest exit, But she accepted his proposal. Now, at their wedding, one of his lunatic friends was yelling up the aisle, "It's not too late, John!" But John's life went into a very different direction. Now, this was a result of a tremendous amount of prayer, not only on his family's part, but then on this wonderful young lady's part. His father-in-law went to Mass every single day and prayed for John. John has been married 44 years. The job that he had for decades. He's a father, he's a grandfather. Now, if you ever meet him, he's still kind of nuts, which is, you know, he hasn't changed his personality. But his life went into another direction. He listened to that still small voice of God. All he had wanted to do was play through life, have a grand time, be a wild and crazy guy. But God one day took a hold of him, and he obeyed that still small voice. He obeyed the Spirit's movement, and he went in another direction. There are times that we think we're doing exactly what we should be doing, and we do it based on the information we have. And God says, there's another direction. So this year, I hope that we will follow the Spirit's guidance, that still small voice, that light that says, go in that other direction. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you for the aha moments of our lives. And I thank you that you know all. And you know things about our lives that we cannot possibly know. I ask, O Lord, that you would give us the strength, the courage to follow the Spirit's direction this year. In Jesus' name, amen.